back to Hemp Legally Speaking, Frost Brown Todd's podcast on all things relating to hemp, CBD, the laws, the policies, the regulations. This is Jonathan Miller. I chair Frost Brown Todd's hemp work group, and also am the general counsel for the U.S. Hemp Roundtable, the hemp industry's national advocacy organization. I'm pleased to be joined today by Jason Amatucci, who is directs the Virginia Hemp Coalition and has for years. Jason not only is a leading figure in Richmond in the legislature, but has also played a major role nationally, and was really involved in both the 2014-2018 Farm Bill development, helping particularly with some key Virginia members of Congress, as well as other members of Congress, to get us to full legalization. Jason, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Jonathan, for having me. I appreciate it. This topic is extremely important, and thank you for putting a spotlight on it.
Yeah, so Jason, I want to get to in a second really problematic couple bills that are pending in the Virginia legislature. But if we can give some background, because Virginia has up until this point been a shining light for the country. If you can kind of explain, the modern history of hemp when it comes to Virginia and what you've been able to accomplish today.
Yeah, sure thing. So we started the coalition in 2012. And we got, we worked on the Farm Bill 2014, and then 2015, we had our big legalization bill. And then the next year we opened it up to everybody, and we started to have a thriving industry. As you well know, CBD then came on board, and we had a lot of infrastructure building with that. And all of a sudden, Delta 8 comes on board and throws a whole monkey wrench into things, and legislators are getting cold feet now about our industry. And so at the present moment, we have an extremely difficult situation with our legislature. We've got prohibitionists combining with the medical monopoly system that has been building for the last 4 or 5 years. It all started, the medical monopoly system started with just oils for epileptic children. And they got their foot in the door. They gave these bids. There was $10,000 to apply for a license for they carved up the state into 5 divisions. And I think about 50 people spent $10,000 non-refundable application fee. And lo and behold, they gave it to 4 out-of-state corporations, and they gave the least lucrative position down in Southwest Virginia to a Virginian. You kind of started to see the lay of the land there. And then every year in the legislature, they've gotten more and more and more to now look like a retail dispensary. You go into one of these medical monopolies, it's so easy to get a card. Anybody can get it for anything. And you go in there and it looks just like a regular retail dispensary you would see in Colorado or California. And they've opened up all the different products, the same thing, the flower. But this whole medical monopoly program was started just on strict oils for children with epilepsy and actual medical issues. So it was kind of an old bait and switch. And at the same time, all this was happening, we started to see a lot of folks like Normal, Virginia Normal, get taken over by another person, and then their agenda changed to come against hemp and come against CBD. And so they started to do all this PR campaign on how CBD was snake oil, and that all CBD was basically like gas station CBD. And so we had to fight that back. What they've done is they've changed that narrative now to the Delta 8 narrative that, it's all terrible and the whole industry is just a bunch of people that can't be trusted. And that's what they're kind of telling these legislators. So we're having to fight against that.
Let's talk about these bills that are pending and what precisely these bills do that are so harmful.
Yeah, so these bills are coming out with, Delegate Terry Kilgore, who, his brother is a medical monopoly lobbyist. And so he's got a 2 milligram per package limit on THC for any hemp product. Now, as we all know, that is a extremely low level that will put all broad spectrum and full spectrum products, basically making them illegal. It turns them into the definition of marijuana. And you will not be able to have these on store shelves. There's a bittering agent requirement put in for any hemp topical, which we don't understand why that's in there, but it's also just this bill seems to be like, let's do as much damage as we can to the hemp industry as possible, and to slow them down, I guess, because, you know, some of this stuff doesn't make any sense. But that would make every single topical have to reformulate. There's not even a definition for bittering agent. So they're going about this in a very poor manner. I mean, the bills are very sloppily written. They've got, like they say, the definition of bittering agent isn't even in there. So what is that? What even does that mean? And then you've got a $1,000 registration fee. We're not opposed to registration for intoxicating, you know, cannabis products that may be hemp derived. We're saying that the VCCA, which is the Cannabis Control Authority, should have, you know, regulations on these intoxicating products. And the Republicans are saying they don't want them out there at all. And the Democrats are basically saying, well, we would rather have the medical monopoly carry these. And so now we're having both sides, you know, coming at us from either way, and we're not able to even move forward with anything with our infrastructure. So, you know, we've got a tough situation in front of us. The fines, there's $10,000 a day fines if a regulator comes in there and finds something that you know doesn't fit on their schedule. There's if they didn't register, there's $10,000 a day fines. And this is for all CBD products. So we're trying to tell them that they need to, you know, this is okay for Delta 8 and whatnot, but CBD and you know, CBG, any kind of non-intoxicating, you know, product, it needs to be separated and just regulated through VDACs and, you know, batch testing, labeling. It does not need special child-proof packaging. It does not need 21 and over status. The other stuff, yes, we're saying that can happen for intoxicating products. But
so let's talk about where things stand right now. We've got two bills that are in a conference committee that are being trying to be reconciled. How do you see what's the timing of that, and how do you see that taking place?
Okay, so this session has been very, very interesting, to say the least. There's been a lot of back and forth. We actually killed both of these bills. We've killed them in the subcommittee, in the Senate, and they found a way to bring it back up and found the votes to get it through narrowly. We killed the bill in the House Courts of Justice Committee. It was a big shock to them. We worked, that was our doing, the Virginia Hemp Coalition. We worked really hard on that and got the votes to kill the bill, threw them in a tailspin. Then we saw a lot of maneuvering, and then all of a sudden we saw all these Democrats vote for the bill that voted against it. And so there's one of two things that happened. Either the medical monopoly got to them and twisted some arms, or there was some horse trading that, you know, these folks won't admit to it in the press, but there was something behind closed doors where the Democrats gave up something to the Republicans to throw the hemp industry under the bus to get this bill through, because this is a bill. These bills are from the administration. And Governor Youngkin has been very obtuse to our industry. He's not been a supporter. He did not like the optics. We've invited him to a hemp farm. We've invited him to processors to see how this is done. They've declined. They don't want him any kind of optics with this at all. His optics are he's trying to save the children from the bad hemp products. But, you know, it's the is a whole more story there that obviously they're not getting into the fine details. And they're just, like I said, they're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. So right now, though, we do have it in conference. The bills did finally get through a lot of back and forth. So that means that the three members of the House meet with three members of the Senate. It's not a very favorable group. I can tell you that right now. They were picked by the people that have been really coming after us. It's the left, which it's the Delegate Kilgore. It's Delegate Favola. I mean, Senator Favola, who have been really orchestrating moving these bills through. So it doesn't look really good right now. I think our main thing is we've had meetings where we've given our talking points and we've told them over and over again the same things like we have through all session. We're hopefully to get some amendments to this bill. If we can't get it to where it looks good and it's going to protect our industry, we got to go all out on telling folks, you know, we still have a chance to vote this bill down. But if it does pass, the governor is definitely going to sign it. He's not going to amend it, I do not think. Like I said, this was his bill to begin with, and he doesn't really care about the fine details, and he has not shown that he really cares about small businesses or family farmers or, you know, anything to do with CBD, doesn't really care to get into the fine details. We've worked with his administration on this. We had that task force that you were involved with. We've given lots of feedback. We've had lots of meetings. We've said the same thing over and over again. But it seems like, I mean, when I talk to everybody and I talk to lobbyists, they tell me that everybody seems like this has been baked in from the beginning. And, you know, this is the agenda and this is the way it's going. And that's why it's been a very interesting session, because it seems like no matter what we do, there's just a lot of willful ignorance or a lot of deaf ears on our on the points we're bringing up that are very valid. And you're bringing up the same points in your letters that you've done, and, you know, your outreach and your the stuff that you've been putting out on the website. So, you know, they're getting enough feedback from stakeholders, and we're all unified on this. Nope, there's not one hemp stakeholder that likes this bill. And yet they seem like they just do not care about that at all. So the writing's on the wall here. And we're just trying to get through this session the best we can. And we do know that there's always going to be a reaction. There's going to be next session. There's going to be an election coming up in 2023 here in November. So we're trying to get folks that really came after us. We want them out of the Richmond for next session. And we want to, you know, make an example that if you're not going to back the small businesses and the farmers, you're going to back out-of-state corporations to come in here. You know, basically, this is just basically a smash and grab. I mean, that's what we're calling it. It's smashing the hemp industry. And meanwhile, at the same time, if you notice, the bills for the medical monopoly, they're increasing their size. They're increasing what they get to do. They're making it easier for people to come in there and buy their products. And they even added now the low THC area. So they want to sell CBD products and sell all these things as well to compete with our industry. So it's pretty obvious kind of what's going on here. If you look at all the different pieces, and you know, right now we've got to get people mobilized to look at Virginia and say, this might be a template that they're going to use for other states. But there's a lot of money coming from the medical monopoly folks. I tell you that they've spent so much this session. It's been unbelievable. Company alone spent $250,000.
So what do you, to our listeners here, particularly those in Virginia, what do you advise them to do, to try to counteract this?
Well, I mean, you know, send your letter in, or your email, your call. We've got, you're going to have U.S. Roundtable is going to have out your call to action. If they could just get on that and send the information to the senators and the delegates that are on the conference committee, that's where we're at with this right now. But also the generalized, all the House and all the Senate is going to vote on this bill again. So I think we need to just oppose the bill, because it's just so bad as it's written now. I mean, I don't see it changing that much, honestly. But we're going to try. We're going to try to amend it. If we can get it to a spot where we can support it, we will. But it's got to do a lot of changes. It's got to really separate things, intoxicating, non-intoxicating. I mean, we've given them language. You know, it just spells out. I mean, they're going to have the whack-a-mole approach with this. So they're going to put this bill in, then you're going to see the industry just sell other things, you know, that aren't on this, that don't affect this bill. You know, there's things out there that aren't traced to THC that they're just going to sell, and then they're going to have to come back next session and deal with those. They're not actually doing anything for the long term. This is just short-term optics, basically, so they can go home to their election and say, hey, I protected the children from Delta 8. But we're already doing that. You know, we're on the side, we're on the same side with that. We don't want children, of course, getting to these products. We don't want counterfeit candy, intoxicating products coming from the hemp industry. We want nothing to do with that. And so we've made that very clear. We've been that way for years. We've been telling folks, any of our members, we're not accepting people that sell this kind of garbage. They need to have batch testing. They need to have, you know, the labeling needs to be correct. So we know that there's a problem out here, and we're okay with regulation, right? Just as you guys are, but we need to not just completely throw an entire industry under the bus because we want to go after some bad apples. And that's what we keep saying to these folks. And it's falling on deaf ears, quite honestly. It really is. I'm kind of shocked of the lack of care by some of these folks, of the small businesses, of the family farmers, the good folks in our industry. We do have a lot of good folks in Virginia that are trying to do the right thing. And their customers appreciate their products and they use their products. You know, Delta 8 by itself is not an evil thing. It's not a bad thing. We need to, of course, have it pure. We need to make sure there's no leftover solvents and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, it's a very valuable cannabinoid that we don't need to just, I mean, we defeated a bill that was just going to make criminalize Delta 8. And you guys are also, I know, you know, against that as well. And I think we as an industry need to stand up, because a lot of folks have been kind of, you know, picking one side or the other and saying, oh, Delta 8's bad. Well, it has hurt our industry, yes, but also we need to stand up for the future, because our future is, you know, unlimited potential with cannabinoids, and we cannot allow the government now to start restricting and go backwards when we just need regulation, you know, the same things we've been pushing for. And we need, you know, good products, and we need the FDA to stop kicking the can down the road and legitimize our industry. We need the banking. All this stuff ties together with, you know, allowing small businesses to be a part of this, allowing national businesses to be a part of this. We're for everybody and for a free market. We're not saying that only small businesses should be allowed to do anything, you know, and these national companies are not going to reformulate all their products for Virginia. I don't see that happening, especially how do you take a full spectrum product and make it, you know, two milligrams total THC. You're going to have to just only do isolate. And we don't want to see it. And, you know, just in Virginia, you only can have CBD isolate products, because a lot of people prefer the synergy effect and the, you know, of the broad and the full spectrum. So, you know, we've got to get people, you know, involved. And then at the same level, there's an election in Virginia. So if whatever happens here, if the national folks see what's going on here, we need you guys to get involved in Virginia politics, because that's where we're going to show the whole country that it's time for us to be stop being soft targets. I think we've been a soft target, and we need to be a little more aggressive and get in a little more active politically.
Jason Amatucci, the director of the Virginia Hemp Coalition, thanks for joining us, and thanks for all your good work here. This, again, is Jonathan Miller, Hemp Legally Speaking. Join us in 2 weeks again for our next podcast episode, where we'll talk more about hemp CBD, the laws, the regulations thereof. Thanks, Jason, and thanks to you all for listening.